This is the state of things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Anita Rao, in for Frank Stachow. In 2016, flooding caused by Hurricane Matthew forced thousands of North Carolina families from their homes. As Martha Quillen writes in the News and Observer, it wasn't just the living who moved. At Elmwood Cemetery in Goldsboro, the remains of 36 people buried just under the surface of the ground were disinterred by the storm's floodwaters. While some were easily reburied, other remains will require DNA samples before they can be identified and put to rest again. Martha Quillen is a staff writer at the News and Observer, and she joins me now. Welcome, Martha.
Thank you.
So we know Hurricane Matthew displaced thousands of North Carolina families, wreaked havoc on central and eastern North Carolina. There's ongoing reporting about the effects, but you looked into a particular story about Goldsboro Cemetery. Tell me about what happened to the grave sites there.
Well, these were. This is a fairly large cemetery that is owned by the city. It wasn't started by the city, but it's owned by the city. There still are burials that happen in that cemetery now. And there were a number of graves that are placed in the ground, as you see them in other cemeteries across the state, where the vaults were closer to the surface than they might have been with other burials. And so the lid of the vault is actually surface level. It's level with the ground, and it often has a marker that is embedded into the lid. And so what you have basically is a casket that is much closer to the surface of the ground. And when the cemetery was flooded, Goldsboro got up to 15 inches of rain in some places, and the entire cemetery was submerged under several feet of water. And it sat there for, you know, quite a while. And with no particular rhyme or reason, some of those vaults came apart. The seals were broken and the water got in there. And so the vaults failed and the caskets actually came out of the vaults and floated free in the water.
So there were 36 coffins that were buried between 1983 and 1997 that floated away when the cemetery was underwater. What did the city do when the water came down and to try to figure out who these people were?
Well, before the water came down, of course, they went and snagged the coffins, and they brought them to safety, and they got them out of the water. When the water went down, they were able to connect a number, about half of them. They were able to identify half of them right away because the caskets or the vaults contained information that identified the remains. And so immediately, 18 of those were able to be reinterred, and the city went about acquiring new vaults and new caskets, and so they reinterred the first half. The second half either did not have the markers. They had been completely separated from their vaults, and then they had no identifying paperwork in them because not all funeral homes apparently did this. There's supposed to be a watertight tube that includes this information, and some of those did not have it. And so the city acquired new vaults and caskets for those also, and they went about trying to find relatives of those people to see if they could identify those remains.
So they did some DNA sampling of the remains, but in order to figure out who these people are, they need family members to come forward to match the DNA. Is that right?
That's right. They have the names, of course, of everyone whose remains were disinterred, and they know, of course, where those remains are supposed to be buried, and they have the remains. What they don't have is a connection between the name and the actual remains. And so they're trying to find relatives of these folks so that they can get DNA that would match samples that they took from the remains before they reburied those in a separate section of the cemetery.
I know when I first read this story, the image in my mind that came to me was that these bodies were buried a long time ago, so long that, you know, maybe family members wouldn't still be alive, but that's not the case. They were buried in the 80s and 90s, but the city has encountered a number of barriers that have made it more difficult to figure out who exactly these people are. Tell me a bit about what those challenges have been.
Well, there are several things. First of all, those missing tubes that should have been in the casket that would have solved this problem immediately. That was one huge flaw. And then there's the problem of obituaries. You know, obituaries used to be way back in, you know, for years and years, they were a free service of newspapers, and they're not anymore. People have to pay for those. And that is, you know, families choose whether they want to run an obituary. And if they don't, or if they can't afford to, or if they just don't want to, and there is no obituary, then you don't have that record that you can go back to. two of the funeral homes that had been involved in these burials had gone out of business. And those records that they had, if they were deposited somewhere, no one knows where they are. And then the funeral homes are the people who deal with the families themselves. It's not the cemetery. So the cemetery did not have those records where they could go straight back to the families. And then you have the situation where a lot of people, you know, this is not a culture of people who visit graves as much as they used to. So you don't have that traffic in the cemetery where these descendants might be coming and visiting the graves in the way that maybe some people in generations past did that.
We should also note that this was a historically African-American cemetery, and you've said there's some connection between sort of the particular racial history of this place and why you think there may be a struggle to connect people with family members. Is that right?
I do. You know, it's natural disasters like Hurricane Matthew and Hurricane Floyd and to some degree Hurricane Fran had a way of really disproportionately affecting people of color because they tend to live and settle and, you know, establish their institutions, including churches and cemeteries and businesses in low-lying areas because that's where the land was available to them. And this cemetery is about a half a mile from the Neuse River, and this is land that had been part of a plantation, and it was given or sold, I'm not sure which, as a cemetery. And it was an African-American cemetery because in those days, blacks and whites were not buried together. They were segregated in life and they were segregated in death, and they had their own cemeteries. And so this was started in 1874 as an African-American cemetery. It's not anymore, of course. It's owned by the city, and people of all races are buried there now.
There are 11 sets of remains that await identification, and Martha Quillen's piece from the News and Observer has a list of these family members who they're looking for information for. So we will put a link to that article on our website and keep following your reporting. Martha Quillen, thank you so much.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.